your Locked On Panthers, your daily podcast on the Florida Panthers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to this crossover edition of the Locked On Panthers and the Locked On Carolina Hurricanes podcast. If you're on the Carolina Hurricanes feed, let me introduce myself. My name is Armando Velez. I'm from PantherParkway.com. You guys can follow me on Twitter at MondoMan12. You can follow the show account at LO_FLA Panthers. And today we're doing a crossover episode because we have a pretty important series on our hands between the Cats and the Canes. So I want to welcome in my friend Jared Ellis from Locked On Carolina Hurricanes. Jared, how are you?
A little tired, but I'm here. I got my coffee right beside me.
So do I. We're recording this pretty early in the morning on April 6th before our series. So this is the 6th and 7th time that the two teams are meeting this season. The first time was just one road game in the middle of January, I believe. And then there is another two gamer between the two teams, and then a one game, if I'm not mistaken, between the two. And right now the records between the two teams, the Panthers are 1-1-2 against the Canes, while the Canes are leading the season series in points 7-4 at this moment in time. So advantage Hurricanes right now. And talk about how you're feeling about this Carolina Hurricanes team through the more than two-thirds now point of the season.
Yeah, I'm definitely feeling good about this series and just the season in general. As we stand right now, I just pulled up the progress chart that one of my buddies has been doing. He runs a couple fan accounts. As of right now, the Hurricanes are 3-0-1 against the Panthers on the season. So we've been playing really well against you guys, and I am feeling good about it heading into tonight's game. With Mrazek finally back in the fold after forever, he looked phenomenal the other night, and the team really seemed to rally behind him, of him being back, and the team has been playing really, really good hockey this season, and they played an extremely physical game they play an extremely physical game, which I hope they can continue heading into tonight, because they're going to need it. The Panthers are not the Panthers of the past this year. It's weird, but I also get it, because the Hurricanes were in the same boat just a couple years ago. They finally turned things around, and it was weird seeing them do well, but they're doing well now. And actually, bringing up that physical game against Dallas, the Hurricanes finished with 53 total hits in that game, which was the most since the Florida Panthers finished with 57 back in 2011.
Amazing. Look at that. There's a lot of grit. There's a lot of just dogs on both of these teams. And one player I want to talk about that I've been hearing a name of as of late, because he's been doing quite well in the clutch, is a player like Martin Natchez. What are your thoughts on Martin Natchez? I've seen that he's got quite a few game-winning goals in a lot of clutch situations. What are your thoughts on him?
I really like the kid. It's really no surprise to us, you know, here in Raleigh, North Carolina, that, you know, he's finally getting to get some recognition for the talent that he has. Because we've known for a while, you know, that he's a good player. And he's really taken a big step forward this season, and he's getting recognition from across the league. So it's really no surprise to any of us. We knew he had this potential, and we know he has even more potential to be even greater than what he is right now.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And that's a player that has really caught my eye in the times that they have played. And according to Cap Friendly, with Peter Mrazek being back, it seems that Rod Brind'Amour is carrying three goalies at this time for the Carolina Hurricanes. Is that correct?
As of we stand right now, yes. It's going to be interesting to see what gets done come trade deadline. Because, you know, with Peter being back now, he's obviously the number one guy. You know, he really played like a number one guy the other night. Having not played in over 30 games, you know, after his thumb went in the wrong direction. I saw that injury. Your thumb ain't supposed to look like that. And for him to just pick back up right where he left off. You know, in the four games that he has played this season, you know, from the start of the season to last game, he has three shutouts, which is more than 16 teams in the league already. So he's obviously number one. He's not going anywhere. And it comes down to Alex Nedeljkovic and James Reimer, both of who are really good goalies. Ned is finally becoming the goalie that they wanted whenever they drafted him back in 2014, I believe it was. He's finally stepping up and being that guy. And James Reimer, yeah, he's been solid for the Hurricanes. Whereas, you know, numbers, you know, statistics, that may say one thing, and it definitely plays a factor. But he has been the reason they have won some games. And he has really taken it to another level in the third period many times over this season. So it'll be interesting what gets done come trade deadline. The good thing about this season is that teams can carry three goalies if necessary, and that is what the Hurricanes are doing right now. Brind'Amour did say in the post-game press conference for the last game against Dallas that they were going to regroup and evaluate the goaltending situation on Monday, which was obviously yesterday. I obviously have no idea what the outcome of those discussions were, if an outcome was even reached. So we'll see what gets done there, because they're going to have to make a decision at some point, whether it's now before the deadline or the offseason, because Mrazek and Reimer are both unrestricted free agents, and Nedeljkovic is a restricted free agent this offseason. So they're going to have to do something.
Yeah, I'm looking at that right now, and the age difference between a Nedeljkovic and a Reimer are 8 years apart. The cap hits are huge differences between the two. So there were, I think I saw a little bit of rumors here and there that Toronto might be interested in a James Reimer because Freddie Anderson is currently hurt, if I'm not mistaken. And there's also, yeah, there's also that. So,
yeah, I do think if someone gets moved, it'll probably be James Reimer. Just the age there and just performance as a whole over the season. I mean, I love James. He's a great guy. He's won a lot of games for us. But ultimately, yeah, while he hasn't been a weak link, out of the three goalies, he's been the weakest link, if that makes sense there.
With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating, questioning, and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing only brands his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Chain stores have different price tiers for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always offers the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require a membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks, delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car, right? Locked on in there. How did you hear about us? Box. So they know we sent you. Amazing selection. Reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need. That is RockAuto.com. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Now back to my conversation with the host of the Locked On Carolina Hurricanes podcast, Jared Ellis.
I used to call him Optimus Rhymes myself when
he played. We still call him that.
Yep, when he played in Florida. So another player I want to talk about is Vincent Trocheck. He was out for 3 weeks, I saw. And since he's come back, he's gotten a point in every game. Talk about how valuable a Vincent Trocheck is on this Carolina Hurricanes team, because when he was on the Florida Panthers, it was really hard to know what his value was because he wasn't necessarily healthy all the years that he was here.
Yeah. I would say when healthy, and you know, because obviously, you know, he did get hurt and was out for a while. But he has been one of the team's MVPs this year. He really has been. He's been extremely, extremely clutch for us. We can always rely on him to make a timely goal. And then, you know, he has several overtime goals and shootout goals this season. So we can always rely on him when it comes to extra hockey. So he's definitely was a great pickup at the trade deadline last season, along with Brady Shea. You know, both of those, they've really proven their worth here this season for what we had to give up. And yeah, I've been extremely, extremely pleased with his performance this season. I think we all knew like he was a really good hockey player when he was healthy. And he's, for the most part, you know, obviously those 3 weeks, been able to stay healthy. I kind of heard that he had been playing through that injury for a few weeks. So the fact that, you know, he was still putting out the numbers that he was when he was hurt is nice to see. I know it kind of hurts you seeing him play really, really well.
Correct. It hurts a little bit. And someone like an E.T. Lustrana I wouldn't want to say the word fallen off, but his production has kind of gone down. He actually was placed on the taxi squad for a day 2 weeks ago. And then Alexander Barkov gets hurt in warmups against Chicago. So our center depth for one game before Itu Lusterainen was inserted back was at two for one game. And they were just shell-shocked by the news of Barkov being out with a lower body injury. But Barkov is back. He's been back since Saturday now. Patrick Hornquist has been back since Saturday. Though they are missing Aaron Ekblad for a huge extended period of time. And the impact that Aaron Ekblad has to this team kind of reminds me of what a player like Dougie Hamilton is for the Carolina Hurricanes. Though the Canes suffered that injury for Dougie Hamilton most of last season. I'm seeing right now that he only played in 47 games out of the 82 last season. Talk about his impact on this team.
Yeah, I remember watching that game when Dougie went down in Columbus. That was definitely rough because he was having a Norris caliber season last year. He was definitely in the running there. And obviously when his leg got broken, that wasn't good. And then, you know, he obviously came back for the bubble. He was in the bubble. I mean, you're coming off an injury like that. That's kind of understandable. But Dougie, yeah, he's obviously brings a lot to the team on the ice when it comes to points and play. You know, he isn't like putting up the goals he was last year, but he's still just racking up the points when it comes to assists. So he's still all over basically every goal, which is great to see. But yeah, Dougie, he brings so much to the team, and just not even the team, but just the organization and just city as a whole. Dougie, he just means so much to everyone. Ever since we got him from Calgary a few years ago, he has kind of like found his home essentially, because there's obviously issues in Boston. There are issues in Calgary. Then he just came in and was able to settle and just find his home. And he's been, it's hard to put into words just what he means for the Hurricanes team and fan base as a whole. He's just one of those franchise centerpieces, if that makes sense. He obviously is a UFA this offseason, which I think he's going to be the second guy to get paid this offseason, with Svechnikov being the first. But there's really not a doubt in my mind that Dougie isn't going to be back.
Not a single doubt, you say?
No. Yeah, I really don't doubt. Yeah, just because of how valuable he is to the team. I do think he's going to be back. They'll figure something out, whether it's, you know, getting a fat payday, you know, this year, or doing a little bit of a bridge deal, you know, to get through a couple years, and then getting the big payday. Obviously, Dougie's a bit older than Svech, so Svech may get the bridge deal to hold on for a few years and then get paid. So we'll see. But ultimately, I do think Dougie is going to be back. He's our best defenseman, or arguably our best defenses, because I know a lot of people would say Jacob Slavin is our best defenseman. But they just make up one of the best pairings in the league. So yeah, it's hard to put into words what Dougie means for us. But it's a lot, to put it simply.
Yeah, and Slavin is locked up for a while. He won't be a UFA till 2025,
26. Yeah, Slavin will probably retire here. I don't see him going anywhere.
Svecht is 21, what I'm seeing. And yeah, you're right.
I'm 21.
I think that it'll be Svecht to get the bridge deal with Carolina. And yeah, Dougie Hamilton means a lot to this team. He's a headache to play from.
Yes.
But even in this pandemic season, playing certain teams more times, I'm starting to see it. But hey, he's very viable to this team. And I want to talk about the recent stretch of games for Carolina. There was a regulation loss against the Chicago Blackhawks. Then there was that late winner by Jasper Fast, just 30 seconds left in that one. And then you had the 1-0 shutout against the Dallas Stars the day after. Funny enough, before that shutout against Dallas, something for the listeners to grasp, both at the same time, Jared and I, on the same night on April 3rd, we both attended a hockey game, where Jared went to a Canes game home game, and I went to a Panthers home game. So what are the chances of that? But yeah, what, talk about the recent stretch for this team. Well, in points percentage, it looks like that Carolina is over Tampa Bay right now, but still a few points back of the Panthers, but still in striking distance for the division title. Talk about your recent stretch of games.
Yeah, I would say this recent stretch has been a bit of a mixed bag. The Hurricanes, they've definitely had some breakdowns and have given up some bad goals. Obviously, you know, one thing I said, you know, in the Chicago series there is that, and they proved me right, Chicago is an extremely hungry team right now, and they have a lot to lose. They're right on the cusp of the playoffs. They're just outside, and they're wanting to make the playoffs. It'll be here before we know it, and they're playing like a team whose playoff hopes are on the line. They are. Kevin Lankinen, he played out of his mind in those games. I knew he would be the goalie, and I knew he would play extremely well. And he did exactly that. Chicago played exactly how I expected him to. I loved that Jesper Foss game-winning goal. I was getting really frustrated in that game, and then yeah, he scored that, yeah, and it was awesome. I know I tweeted that at Jack, you know, from the Blackhawk show, and he never even responded. He didn't like it. He didn't respond. Yeah, that was funny. But
he's probably not pleased.
No, probably not. But and then the Dallas games. That first one, there's a reason. Yeah, my name on Twitter has been changed. Yeah, to Locked On hashtag Free Spetch, because the officiating game. Well, I would say pretty much since our Tampa game, the officiating in Hurricanes games has been questionable, to say the least. Because the Hurricanes are lucky to get one power play a game. Whereas, you know, the teams playing against us constantly. They're, and it's extremely frustrating because when you have Spetch go on the ice, basically as soon as he steps on the ice, oh, Spetch, yeah, he committed a penalty. Whether he did or not, I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the kid, you know, sometimes does take dumb penalties. But there's sometimes like, what? He didn't do anything. He barely touched the guy. And it's frustrating because you can, Spetch is definitely in his own head right now. And this is really hurting him and potentially his development. Because there were several, in especially in like the last 10 minutes of that Dallas game I went to, blatant tripping calls. I'm talking right in front of the refs, not called. There was one, I forget who it was for Dallas, but him and Trocheck had went behind the Dallas net. No one else back there. Trocheck got tripped into the net. And it was just complete BS. And then there was, in the last Dallas game, a Pavelski high-sticking penalty that got missed, where Jordan Staal's entire mouth is just covered in blood. Oof. Like, yeah, and just wasn't called. So the officiating in Hurricanes games has been extremely frustrating. I do think that has played a factor, not necessarily like a game out. You know, I don't necessarily know if it, you know, affected the outcome of the games. Wouldn't surprise me, and obviously it was the whole deal with who was it, Tim Peel in Nashville, who got caught on a hot mic.
Yeah.
It wouldn't. I mean, I'm not blaming the refs, but you know, for losses, but. When there's blatant stuff that's missed, that's definitely frustrating, for sure. But the Hurricanes, yeah, they have some work to do. You know, they have had some injuries this season, and got in a little bit of a funk there, but they are looking to be turning it around, and finding ways to win, which is something that they need to do. This team has drawn a lot of comparisons to the 2005, 2006 team that won the Stanley Cup. And former Hurricane and champion, Brett Hedekin, he called this team relentless. And I think that's a perfect way to describe them, because this team, they don't give up. They're going to keep going, whether it looks bad or not. They're going to keep going. So, and with Peter back in the lineup, they're really rallying behind that.
Absolutely. It's funny. Trocheck being tripped and not called for it. Panthers fans know all about that, dating back to the 2016 playoffs against the New York Islanders. But speaking of 2006 champions, did you see yesterday that Eric Staal got a game-winning goal for the Montreal Canadiens in his first game?
I did. I sent it in our group chat, because we've seen that same shot from Eric many times, from that same spot. It was a video from 2019 when Jordan Staal scored the game-tying goal in Game 7 against the Capitals before it went to double overtime. He scored that same goal, and it was paired with one from, I believe, 2009 against the Devils in Game 7. It was a Game 7 winning goal from Eric Staal to finish off that series, but same exact spot. So I'm not surprised in the slightest that he made that goal. Yeah, I still wish, you know, Don Waddell had made the move to get Eric Staal back, because, you know, I talked about that, you know, he's obviously not the 100-point scorer that he once was. Obviously, you know, he's in his mid-30s, you know, at this point. And he's been around for close to 20 years. So he's obviously not that guy. But I thought, you know, he could still bring value to the Hurricanes, especially, you know, at the time, because Trocheck was still out. So it was frustrating, you know, to see him not come back and then now seeing him, oh, play really well. So, but yeah, I'm not surprised he made that goal at all.
Yeah. When coming back from injury, like, you, when it comes to like a player like Trocheck, you gotta be patient with something like that, because only then, if you're trying to rush it, that you could possibly re-aggravate something in whatever injury he may have. And, you know, as of right now, I would say the Carolina Hurricanes are winning the trade, but there's still time. There's still There's still plenty of opportunities to reevaluate a player like Lustrinen and Chase Prisky, who's still in the AHL.
I was upset when we got rid of him.
Yeah,
I wasn't happy with that. And you mentioned not rushing injuries. Same thing with Teuvo Teravainen and Jake Gardiner right now. Both of those guys are hurt, and they had to play some cap gymnastics. Obviously, that's why Gardner's on the taxi squad. But, you know, he's hurt. And Tavo's, you know, it's concussion and concussion-like symptoms. And, you know, having had two concussions in the past, concussions ain't nothing to mess with. Obviously, mine's, you know, mine were nowhere near what Tavo's is. But, yeah, they're nothing to mess with. And I thought, you know, initially Gardner's was his back injury, because it's no secret he had back issues in Toronto, but, you know, found out, you know, the other night that it's an elbow injury for him. And having broken mine, that's another one. That takes a while.
Yeah.
And when your elbow is part of your bread and butter for your job, you know, yeah, take the time you need.
Yeah. And I've had one concussion in my life, and it sucks. It even hurts to think. Concussions are, and that's the one thing you really don't want to mess with when it comes to something like that. But also the test that they do to reevaluate for concussions, that for to get back, like, there's a lot of like really mental challenges to do in order to make sure that you are good enough to step back on the ice.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, college hockey, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. Be a waiver wire winner with daily fantasy hockey advice from Locked On Fantasy Hockey. Fantasy hockey expert Scott Collin gives you the tips, insight, and analysis for season-long, dynasty, and DFS leagues. Follow the Locked On Fantasy Hockey podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. Now back to my conversation with the host of the Locked On Carolina Hurricanes podcast, Jared Ellis.
Okay, so going to this series, this is a series that is happening in Raleigh, a road series for the Panthers. And their one win in this one was the very first one where, if you remember, the Jonathan Huberto had a beautiful spinorama pass to a cutting Alex Wennberg to beat, I believe it was Reimer in that one, or Ned. I don't remember which one who started, but the Alex Wennberg has, that was in the middle of Alex Wennberg's first run, this little bit of a second run with Alex Wennberg just scoring and close to posing a career high. But what are your thoughts as this series is coming for the sixth and seventh time? They still got one more series later on. I believe it's this month. I'm not sure when, but what are your feelings for this series specifically?
I do think it's definitely going to potentially play a really big outcome in who wins the Central Division. It's such a tight race between us, you guys, and Tampa. It's an extremely tight race, and one game could be the deciding factor because it's so tight of a race. So we'll see. I do feel good about the Hurricanes heading into this series. We got guys back. We got Trocheck back. We got Peter back. Obviously, I haven't seen anything yet, but I would imagine Peter probably gets the nod in net tonight. But ultimately we'll see. Again, you don't want to rush, an injury, especially one where you had to have surgery and pins stuck in your thumb and all that stuff. You don't want to rush that. But I do feel good about that. We kind of have had y'all's number this season. Obviously, anything can happen. It's the National Hockey League. The Buffalo Sabres have won two games, since their 18-game losing streak. If the Buffalo Sabres can win a game, the Hurricanes can win a game, and the Panthers can win a game. We'll see, but I do feel good about the Hurricanes heading into this. We got our guys back. We're playing really good. The team is definitely fired up right now because they know that they have to get it done on even strength because they probably aren't going to get the power plays. I obviously went on my rant about that for the episode, but they know that they may not, get power play opportunities, even though, they have, the best power play unit in the league. Right now, I think, statistically, they may not get the chance to use it that much. So they know that they have to get it done. And they know that they're going to be facing a really, really good team. A team that is, proving everyone wrong this season. They're proving me wrong. I didn't expect the Panthers to be that good. I expected them to kind of be where, like, Nashville and Chicago are, kind of on the cusp of playoffs. That's where I expected them to be, not in first place in the league.
You and me both, and a lot of people as well, because there's a lot of new additions that we just didn't know were going to fit together with Carter Verhaeghe and Alex Wennberg, a Patrick Hornquist. There are still a lot of question marks and still things up in the air, but for the most part, going into the series, the Panthers have been healthier now than they were a few weeks ago, with the exception of Aaron Ekblad being out until at least mid-June. So there's still a very, very small chance that Aaron Ekblad returns if the Panthers were to make a playoff run this season. But so for the most part, they're doing a lot better in the health department than they were a few weeks ago. So I'm anticipating a really tight matchup, a possible division changing matchup if one team were to sweep the other, because if one team sweeps the other, the one on the losing side could all but forget about possibly winning the division and just get ready for their 2-3 matchup, because all three teams at the top are making the playoffs, the Canes, Lightning, and Panthers. That's a given. But right now, the fight is for positioning. Who's going to get home ice in round one? Who's going to avoid the 2-3? And who's going to want to play the 4 instead? And for weeks, we've been saying, okay, whoever gets first gets to play a Chicago. But now it's looking, with Nashville surging, that it's going to be a different story. And the fight for that 4 spot is something that you and I definitely need to look at as well, to see if one of us were to win the division, who to look into that team as well.
Yeah, I would definitely rather play Nashville than Chicago, that's for sure. I think Chicago is a more dangerous team. Yeah, I definitely think this is, again, a make or break series. It really is. I definitely kind of see this one getting heated, to be honest, with so much at stake. I definitely see that old Southeast division rivalry kind of reigniting. I know I mentioned it in our first crossover that we did, that the team that the Hurricanes has the most fights against is not the Lightning, is not the Bruins, is not the Capitals, is not the Devils. It's you guys. So I can see, you know, this getting heated. I really can. Especially with, obviously, the Hurricanes have kept their emotions in check over these past few games for the most part, but especially with them being frustrated, you know, right now, I could see it getting heated. I really could. And with it being at home, Peter rarely loses at home, especially this season. He's a dangerous man at home, and the Hurricanes are a dangerous team at home. So good luck.
Definitely. And the Panthers are done playing the Red Wings for this season. In the final few games, Jovani Smith and a lot of Florida Panthers players were just getting at it. And it was to the point where the Red Wings were tired of us and we were tired of them. So it got very heated in that last game. And this series might not be the most heated one. It might be the next one, because it's all of those matchups accumulating, and the you're just tired of the other opponent at this point. So,
yeah.
So I want to thank you, Jared, for doing this crossover episode with me. We got a big series on our hands coming, starting tonight at 7 p.m. at the PNC Arena, and Thursday night. If I had to guess who is the starting goalie for this one, I'm going to say Sergei Bobrovsky. Both goalies have been playing well as of late.
$10 million man a year.
Yeah. Hey, Chris Drieger is going to get paid this season. He has.
Are you going to have the money to pay him?
Yeah, they're not going to be able to re-sign him. But but yeah, two shutouts, the only two in this season, and looks like that with Bobrovsky's play as of late too, and the defense is playing so well around him. I think he's going to get the nod game one, depending on how he plays. Even if they win and he gives up maybe 4. They might go to Drieger in game 2, but just
gives up maybe 4. Good Lord.
Those happen sometimes, even in wins. So, but it's just that the Panthers can just score so many goals that sometimes it could disguise the 4 goal ski sometimes. So,
yeah. Oh, I get it. Cause kind of a joke been this year, James Reimer will give up 3 goals.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I get it. It's just funny, you know, that massive contract is not looking good.
Yeah, but hey, he's been playing better as of late. But
yeah, he has.
But yeah, anyway, I want to thank you for doing this crossover episode, and we got to do another one soon for the last series of the year. So I want to say thank you, Jared.
Yeah, not a problem. Yeah, we'll definitely have to do one for the last game of the season. I had pulled it up. Give me just a second. That last, we obviously play, you know, tonight and tomorrow, and then we got the 22nd and 24th.
All right, so the 22nd, 24th, for sure, we're going to have to do a preview then. But
yeah,
thank you once again for doing this with me, man.
Yeah, not a problem, and enjoy the game tonight.
Thank you.
And thank you once again to Jared Ellis of the Locked On Carolina Hurricanes podcast for doing this crossover with me. If you want to follow his work, you could follow him on Twitter at JaredEllis_96, and you could also follow his Locked On Hurricanes account at LO_Hurricanes to find his work on there. Or if you have a Carolina Hurricanes fan in your life, send him over that way to Jared, who will provide valuable insight on the guys from Raleigh. So if you like what you're hearing, please subscribe to the podcast. Make sure to give it 5 stars. Follow at LO_FLA Panthers. Follow me on Twitter at MondoMan12. Don't forget to follow the national show, Locked On NHL. Don't forget to follow the new Crosscheck NHL show with Andrew Berkshire and Mary Clark. And I'll be back with you guys tomorrow to break down game one of this final time that the Panthers will be visiting Raleigh, North Carolina this season. So I'm Armando Velez, signing off. And you've been listening to Locked On Florida Panthers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Where it's your team every day.